I hope everyone has an outline. Great. Hallelujah. Praise God. So let's start off with a word of prayer. Lord, we just give you glory and thanks. I thank you for this evening, Lord. Just prepare our hearts for tonight, Lord, to receive all that you have for us. Oh, hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Just open our hearts and open our spiritual minds, Lord, for you, Lord, tonight. That you would just prepare us, Lord. Prepare me. Give the word of God for you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We just give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' precious name. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to him. My strength and my redeemer. Hallelujah. His name is Jesus. Overview. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. The Lord told me tonight that I was to speak on John 3. So, on John 3, 1 through 17, you're going to need your Bibles. On the rest of the scriptures, you can probably go from the outline. But in this, the beginning of John 3, you're going to need your Bible. Okay? King James. John 3:1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews. 2. And the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, for we know that you art a teacher come from God, and that a man who doeth couldn't do thee all these miracles that you do, except that God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, he's saying, truthfully, truthfully, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Remember, he says, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He doesn't say enter. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old and can enter the second time in his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now goes to enter. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it is list, and heareth the sound thereof, but canst tell where it comes from and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these be true? How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest all these things and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do not, that we testify, and that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. And if we have told you all these earthly things, and you believe thee not, and you shall believe not, I tell you, if I tell you these things of heavenly things. So how is he going to believe when he can't even believe of these earthly things? If he tells them the things of the heavenly, how is he going to believe that? And no man has ascended up to heaven, that he down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, and that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Okay, here's the main verse, 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved, that he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the holy begotten Son of God. Wow. You see, Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was well known, wealthy, and very well educated. The Pharisees believed in the afterlife. The Sadducees did not. That's why they were sad, you see. He knew Jesus was different. He knew that God was using him to heal people. He had power. Nicodemus even said that God is with him. How many pastors do we know of? Know the history of the church? They can rattle off each theme of each of the books in the Bible. And it goes on and on and on. But has the good news of Jesus Christ taking root in their hearts? That's the main thing. Has it taken root in their hearts? When I was involved in the pantry years ago, I was at a church and visiting this pastor, and I went into his room, and boy, there were books and books lined up in the walls. I was just so amazed. I was impressed. But, you know, when I started talking with him, I mean, he was very, very intellectual. He was a very sharp person, way beyond my comprehension, I tell you. But, you know, one thing I noticed is that the Spirit of the Lord was not really on him. You see, he had a very small church. He had a medium-sized church, but the congregation was small for the size. And even because of that, his attendance, the attendance of the church, was very small. And it always stayed the same. It was always staying the same. You see, he wasn't in the Spirit. He didn't believe, really, to me, he didn't have that Spirit of Jesus Christ and wanting to know and wanting to and had a real hunger for the lost souls. I believe that the Spirit of God was trying to part the veil of Nicodemus's heart. That's what I believe. I believe he was trying to get to the point where he was trying to move in Nicodemus and part his heart. In John 3:3, it says, it's amazing, 3:3. I guess I'm in the numbers, but it's amazing. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, truthfully, truthfully, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. See, Jesus says to him, he needs to be born again. Nicodemus has no idea, because he's thinking of human wisdom. Human wisdom, which I call, he's thinking in the flesh. In John 3:4, it says, Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? How can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? You see, he answered Jesus. He answered Jesus from a human point of view. He answered him in the flesh. And how does Jesus respond? Jesus answered, verily, verily, again, say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not, I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it list, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but thou canst tell where it comes from, and whether it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Jesus is telling Nicodemus that he needs to look at God's point of view and see his point of view. But Nicodemus is still, he's still looking at man's point of view. He's still looking in the flesh. In Romans 8:8, it says, so then they see that the flesh cannot please God. But at 9, in verse 9, it says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so, that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. And now that any man haveth not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If man is not in the Spirit, he is not his. He's constantly in the flesh. In John 3:9, it says, Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these be? Jesus answered and said unto him, thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, again he's saying that, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen and receive not our witness. You haven't received our witness. Our. Is that the Trinity, or do you think it's the prophets? Anybody can answer that, but I don't know. I'm thinking it could be the Trinity very well. It's talking we. This is in 12, it says, and if I have told you these you earthly things, and you believe not, how you believe if I tell you the heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that can come down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. See, Jesus said to him that you're a master in Israel, and you don't know these things. He says, truly, I speak these things, and no one believes me. Is we have seen these things. Jesus has seen these things. And no one believeth these earthly things. How can you believe that I tell you about the heavenly things? The Spirit. How can he talk about the Spirit? John 3:14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. 3:16, hallelujah. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn his condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. That he believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You see, Jesus is saying to him, number one, you must believe that you need to be born again. You need to be born again. Number two, you must believe in that Jesus is the Son of God. He is the one that will give you eternal life. In Titus 1:2, it says, the hope of eternal life, which God cannot, that cannot lie. See, God cannot lie. Promise before the world began. In Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You see, it is the Spirit that gives life. When we are Jesus, it is a Jesus that gives life. He is true life. You see, in John 6:63, it says, it is the Spirit that quicketh, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The words that I speak are life. In Romans 8:2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Romans 8:10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life. Because of righteousness. Amen. Romans 8:11. But the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. And he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. How many times have we had Pastor Joshua say that verse? How many times? Wow. So when we're in the Spirit, we continue to be in Jesus. We grow. But how does it show when we're in Jesus and we have the Spirit that's within us? Well, it is shown through the fruit of the Spirit, when we have the fruit of the Spirit. And what is the fruit of the Spirit? Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Now in healing school, in semester 2, the theme is healing comes through the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. And we know that the greatest of these, of the fruit of the Spirit, is love. In 1 John it says that God is love. In John 3:16, we know that one, for God so loved the world. In 1 John 4:7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and of everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So So if you don't have love, you don't know God. In Mark 12:30, it says, thou shalt love thy Lord thy God with thy whole heart, with thy whole soul, with thy whole mind, with thy whole strength. And this is the first commandment. You see, we have to believe that he loves us beyond a shadow of a doubt, that he loves us so much that he was willing to send his son for us, to die for us. He says that we are his friends. Wow. We are his friends. I think it's in Ephesians 2. We rule and reign with Christ. We're seated with him. In John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Every person in this room, we need to be able to see that we should need to know that we need to lay down our lives for every person in this room. No matter how we feel about each person, there has to be that love. Love has to overwhelm us so that we love each other. And we have to be willing to die for each person. In Matthew 16:25, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. In 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed from death unto life, because the love of the brethren, he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. And in 3:16, in John 3:16, 1 John 3:16, it says, hereby perceive we love the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. You see, he has laid down his life for us. That means we need to lay down our lives for the brethren. I believe we're in the end times, and that many of us will be in a position that we'll have to decide. Is it going to be us? Or them? Or their lives? Is it our life? Or is it going to be the brethren's life? We have to make that decision. We know, and through the teachings, that maybe we can go beyond that. But we have to be willing to give up our lives. We have to have that love in us that we have to say yes. It's my brethren that I choose, not me. We have to die to self. In Revelation 3, it talks of the church in the Laodicea, in which many theologians think that this church represents the end times church. And these are some of the verses that refer to that. Revelation 3:15, I know thy words, and they that thou art neither cold or hot. I wish you were saying that, I wish you were cold or hot. Because you're neither cold or hot. So then you be, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold or hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Many of us are going to be lukewarm. Many of us are lukewarm. We have to go beyond that. We need to go beyond that. We have to make a decision whether or not we're going to be cold or hot. Remember the movie War Room? It's still out, I think, and many of us have seen it. And there was a time when I think this older lady wants to move out of this house that she has. And the real estate agent comes over, and they both started talking, and then the older lady starts showing the agent around, and she said, "And this is my prayer closet." And she was, she was taken. She just didn't really know what to say. But as time went on, they started talking about their history, and they both found out they were Christians, and they both really just go, "Wow." So the agent sat down at the table, and the older lady, she comes in and she says, "Well, do you want some coffee?" He says, "Yes, would like some coffee." And while she's fixing the coffee, they start talking, and the agent started saying, "Yes, I'm a Christian, but my prayer life is so-so, nothing much." So by then, when they quit talking, the older lady brings over the coffee. And the agent, she takes the coffee cup and, you know, she takes a sip and she goes, she's kind of embarrassed. She says, "This is kind of lukewarm." And she says, "Well, how do you like yours?" And the older lady said, "I like it hot." Yes, I like it hot. See, many believers in this category, they are lukewarm. They are believers. They've fallen away. They don't even believe the Bible. They don't read the Bible. They don't even take it seriously. That is why the Lord told ABC that this is the era of reality. Where you see, because the time is now that we must commit ourselves to Jesus Christ. It's time is now. We need to make him your everything, our everything. In Revelation 3:20, it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. I will sup with him, and he with me." You know, there are so many people that are caught up in the halftime of the Super Bowl. I mean, I watch the Super Bowl and I watch the halftime, but I go, "Wow, that was beyond me." And I go, "Wow, can you imagine?" And the world is just eating this up. You see, they're caught in the trap of this world and what it offers. They are in the flesh. But still they're trying to maintain their spirituality. They're simply called lukewarm. It reminds me, remember when people were called fence sitters? You know, someone that cannot commit to either side, and they sat on the fence. You see, Joshua's preaching to us, and he said, you know, Satan attacks us through the flesh. Our emotional also, our emotions. Pride, lust, self-centeredness, selfishness, all these things. That's how he attacks us. Because he doesn't know the spiritual side. He only knows the flesh and the emotions. It says, "Do not be in fear. Do not be in fear. For perfect perfect love casts out fear. And if we know the Lord, He has promised that He would always be with us and not forsake us. Amen? In 1 John 4:18a, it says, "For there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear." In 2 Timothy 1:7, of course, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind." Where love is able to abound. I believe the Lord gave me that revelation. Where love is able to abound. Excuse me. Where the Spirit is, excuse me, that's right. Where the Spirit is, love is able to abound. If we have the Spirit in us, the love of God can fill us and make us grow. In 1 Peter 22, it says, "Seeing that you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit into unfeigned love of the brethren, and see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently." We need to love each other so much. "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." And 24, "For all flesh is as of grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withered, and the flower thereof falleth away." And 25, "But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and is this, the word by which the gospel is preached unto you." Amen. The word of God is power. And in John 1, it says, God was the word. God was the word. That power. So when you speak that God's word, power comes out. The anointing comes in. It's so powerful. He loves us so much. We need, therefore, to be hot for Jesus, to abide in Him. We need to commit to the Lord. In John 15:10, it says, "If you keep my commandments, you shall abide my love, even as if I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love." In John 15:7, He says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." Amen. See, He's promised to protect us. Luke 10:19, "Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Amen. Also, Psalm 91, which is the Psalm of Protection, Psalm 23. So, in closing, His name is Jesus. Jesus in His word says that He has us in His hand and He will not let us go. He will not let go. Jesus is His name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Michael, that was really great.
Thank you.
Really great. Thank you. Thank you. I really, really like that. I got two lessons out of that teaching. Two graduate school lessons. Semester 5 and 6. It answered a question I have been praying about for a long time. You might want to listen to His teaching over and over again. There's a lot of stuff in there. A lot of stuff. So I just wanted to say that, Michael. I got the microphone just so I could say that, okay? Thank you very much. And I'm going to turn it over to my wife, Sarah.
Praise the Lord. Well, this is a good time to seal what we've been taught under the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. So the body and the blood, the communion, coming to the table, being intimate with him, taking his word. For Jesus is the word. He's the living word. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, we just thank you that you have cleansed us from all unrighteousness, washed all of our sins into the sea of forgetfulness with the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We've been made righteous and right standing with you, able to come boldly before the throne of grace. Boldly. We don't have to hold back. We don't have to hesitate. Abba Daddy wants us to come running to him. Jesus wants us to come running to him at all times. When we're in righteousness, to want to spend time with him. When we're in sin, that we're turning our eyes to 1 John 1:9 and saying, we need to confess that sin and get back into fellowship with God through the blood of Jesus. And Jesus gives us this opportunity, this privilege of coming as often as we desire. He puts no limitations on it. We're the ones that determine how much of God we want, how much of Jesus we want, how many times we're willing to partake of the body and the blood each day to let him infuse his very being, all his essence, all that he is. He pours into us as we partake of the body and the blood. It's a very, very special time. Let me know when you're ready. Okay, we're ready. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we hold in our hands the broken body of Jesus. The body of Jesus, which was broken for us. Jesus, you allowed yourself to be treated with such hatred, with such torture, because you stood in our stead in what we deserved. You're saying, no, I don't want you to go through that. I want to take it for you so you won't have to experience that pain. You took the 39 stripes upon your back, 39 times that whip crossed your body, 39 times that whip ripped your flesh and shed your blood over all the sicknesses, diseases, infirmities, and pains represented in the 39 categories of modern medicine. It's all covered by the blood of Jesus, all covered by the stripes of Jesus. We can boldly say that we have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. It's a done deal. It's a completed work. Jesus said, it is finished. When he died on the cross, it wasn't just for our sins. It was for every part of our salvation. He paid the full and complete price and said, it is finished. It is done. And now it is ours. It belongs to us. For we were bought and paid for with this body of Jesus, with the blood of Jesus. We belong to him. And so our faith action plan now is to continue on with what Pastora Karen taught in the 6 o'clock service. And if we have the full manifestation of our healing already, we rejoice. We thank you, Lord. And if we don't have the complete manifestation yet, we rejoice. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, at all times. We praise you at all times. For it is this praise and this thanksgiving, even in the face of what seems to be impossible, that the devil wants to trip us up. He wants us to call the things that are as though they are. God says, no, you call those things that are as though they be. And what they be is the truth of Jesus Christ. And the truth of Jesus Christ, for Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And his way is the way that overcomes all the challenges of this body, of this earth, all the things that we would call a fact, for the truth overwhelms the fact. And it changes it. We call those things that be not until they be. And all along the way, we rejoice and we thank Jesus, for he's the one that made it possible. He's the one that deserves our rejoicing, our thanksgiving, our glory. And so we take, Lord, in our hand the broken body of Jesus. Our faith action plan is, as we believe that we've been healed by the stripes of Jesus, we take the broken body into our bodies and we receive now the wholeness, the healing, the wellness, the restoration, the deliverance that belongs to us right now in Jesus' name. And Father, the cup of blessing, the cup of life, the cup of blood that cut the covenant, the blood that established the new, better, and everlasting covenant just for us, for those of us in these last of the last days. If it was the last days starting 2,000 years ago, how much more it is the last of the last days now. It's drawing soon. We'll see you soon, Jesus, face to face. We look forward to that day. But right now, we just look forward to each day of life that you've given us here to fulfill your plans and your purposes in our lives, in our bodies, to be all that you created us to be, for the benefit and the glory of the kingdom of God here on earth. For your word said that as in heaven, so on earth. And that's who we are. We are children of heaven. We're passing through this land, and we do it in the power of the body and the blood of Jesus. For we are victorious in you as we continually take of you, to receive of you, to pour you into ourselves, Lord, to refresh and renew every cell of these bodies, these physical bodies, to strengthen them, to carry us through until the day that you return from us, for us. And we honor you, Jesus. We remember what you've done for us, and we do rejoice, and we say, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. And we receive now of that precious blood of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.